Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
But you've known Joe Biden for 30-something years, right? So I mean, how do you, what is your reaction to these allegations? Now there's two people who have said that he made them feel uncomfortable. Is it disqualifying, and what is your reaction to that?
I don't think it's disqualifying, because I think disqualifying is with what your intention is. I do think this about communication in general, beyond this. I'm a member of the Straight Arm Club. I mean, I'm a straight armor. All this. Just pretend you have a cold and I have a cold. But what I think that it's important for the vice president and others to understand is it isn't what you intended, it's how it was received.
I actually like that kind of that soundbite from Nancy Pelosi, because I think it's kind of funny. I'm a member of the Straight Arm Club. There's a lot of clubs you're a member of. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I'm all sunshine and strawberries today. No, I'm not. That's a lie. If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. At D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. It's not that I'm in a bad mood. It's that I lifted a lot of weights today, and I'm on like a teeny weeny amount of carbs. And I understand the bath salt people. I get them because they're hungry. I get them. I mean, to that extent. I mean, yeah. Well, no, I mean, just they're starving in general. And you know how it's with Warner Brothers when Tomcat is super hungry? Is he Tomcat? Is that his name, Mr. Tomcat? Whatever. Him, whenever he would get hungry and he would look at that little baby bird and it would look like a little baby roast chicken. That's what I get those people. Anyway, so that was Nancy Pelosi saying that she doesn't necessarily think Biden's allegations are disqualifying because he's a Democrat. I mean, have you guys seen this Justin Fairfax thing? No, Dana, we haven't. We don't even know who the hell that guy is. Oh, he's just some Democrat lieutenant governor in Virginia. He's number two after Governor McBlackface. And that's his actual name. And, well, that's his first name. And by the way, that was the name that his friends gave him because he wore blackface so often. Ralph Abortham. Abortham all. Yes. Him. So it's his number two, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, who apparently is kissy kissy. And the ladies have been coming out. There was another one today that gave an interview, but you haven't heard about it because cable news and news in general, legacy media, they sit down and they determine whether or not a story is worth talking about or printing by how badly it hurts Democrats. If it hurts them a lot, they're not going to really talk about it. If it kind of hurts them, but really helps a candidate that they want, another Democrat, like in a primary, then they'll talk about it. Yeah, they'll get to it. But they take an entirely different tone, like with Joe Biden, right? With Joe Biden, what do you hear the legacy media people do? Well, you know, it's not good for him to do that. Or Audio Soundbite 24, they say this kind of stuff. They do this. Listen to this.
There's a lot of things I know about Joe Biden. I've known him for a long time. He is extremely affectionate, extremely flirtatious in a completely safe way. I am sure that somebody can misconstrue something he's done. But as much as I can know what's in anyone's heart, I don't think that there's a bad intent on his part at all. And I read the account, and I was like, yeah, that's Joe Biden, but never thought for a second that he meant anything from it except to be nice, to be kind. Well,
so they do that. That's the other thing that they do. So, I mean, that's how they handle it. Can you imagine if it was Kavanaugh? Oh, he did it. Oh, he was so guilty. He was out there raping everybody. Hide your daughters, hide your wives, because Kavanaugh's out there raping everybody upon her.
Credible accusations.
Credible accusations. Golly. That's all you heard. Oh my gosh, he's so guilty. So guilty. They went all the way back to, golly, how far they go back? They went far back.
High school.
Everybody was talking about yearbook quotes. Yearbook quotes. I didn't even have a yearbook quote. I feel badly that I didn't now, because I would have made it something spectacular. But they went back to yearbook quotes. All the way back there. Kids, today you will be judged in this social media era. You will be judged as a 50-year-old for what you're doing right now. If you think, wow, I'm so glad I escaped that and I didn't get any punishment, just you wait. It's coming in several decades to ruin your life. No, but if you're a Democrat, it's like having the Costco card. You know, it's like you walk into the land of blame-free and manna, and you walk in, you just flash that card, and they're like, oh, it's okay. You can go in without being trashed and having your life ruined. It's great. They let you fly right past them. By the way, have you ever walked into Costco and you haven't had your card ready and you're like standing there fumbling and it's so awkward? Hi, that's me. I'm her. That happens. Or you'll think you have it and it's a different card. I one time flashed my concealed carry card. I'm like, hi. Oh, wait a minute. Not that one. This is my Costco card. That was like a polite way to say, I don't know. But that's what it is. It's like they have this Costco card where they can walk into the land of blameless and they just flash that card and they walk right in. That's exactly how it is. No questions asked. I mean, he could, who knows? The only people, by the way, that are getting mad at him are the Bernie people, because Lucy Flores is a Bernie sister. I can't say bro. What's the equivalent of bro for sister?
Sis.
No, I don't like that. No, it doesn't have the same.
Homegirl?
No, that sounds like.
I'm reaching here.
No, that sounds like Robert O'Rourke trying to be hip with the kids. Yeah, it made me cringe.
How do you, fellow kids?
But anyway, Lucy Flores loves her some Bernie Sanders, and that's why she's going after Joe Biden. Democrats will politically just kneecap themselves so that they can totally go socialist. They are wanting to plunge off the cliff politically. And Joe Biden is the only actual chance that they have to beat Trump. And they're going to go at him. I don't know. Maybe he is like super affectionate. Is it weird? Yeah, I think it's weird. I always think people who are super, I think people who are really friendly right out of the get-go are weird. I don't like overly friendly, super happy people. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like, there's a difference between being joyful and being super friendly right away. Like when you try to be my friend real fast and when you try to be BFFs, there's an alarm that goes off in my head and I just am instantly suspicious of you. Instantly cynical, always cynical, but more so. Anyway, so we're watching that because the other woman came forward and said, oh, well, he inappropriately touched her at a fundraiser, grabbed her head, neck, and pulled her in to rub noses with her. That's weird. It's weird. And she says it was a very uncomfortable situation. Her name's Alice Paul. She was a congressional aide. She says it's as if the grossness of men invading women's boundaries to sniff and touch is debatable. And shame on the women here excusing this. Is nobody saying it's boys be boys. Let's go ahead and make up some more crap to argue against because there isn't anything there. Nobody's saying that. Jiminy Christmas. I can't stand when people do that. I don't really have anything else to say, so I'm just going to pull something out of my butt and just make up pretend someone said it. No one said that. Gosh, have a seat. So this, I don't think anyone is saying that maybe you shouldn't rub noses with someone, but is it Me Too? I mean, if Me Too is everything you dislike, then is there something special and separate for people who are like genuinely sexually assaulted and raped? Because that's kind of different from all the stuff that these chicks are talking about. I'm just saying. And you really wanted to diminish that by going after Joe Biden and trying to take him out of a primary, which, by the way, his spokesperson sounds like a genius. I'm rolling my eyes so hard. So let me read this to you because this comes from Axios. Now, remember what I said, how Lucy Flores was a Bernie supporter, right? It says several around Biden think advisors to Bernie Sanders are at least partly behind the anti-Biden campaign. One prominent backer thinks Biden will run and is, quote, ready to kill Bernie, end quote. I got this text last night from a source close to Biden, quote, VP, he's not anymore, directed staff this evening to reach out to supporters and donors with a simple message, full steam ahead, end quote. I mean, the fact that he was doing well in the polls because he wasn't officially a declared candidate, it still isn't. I mean, that's gotta grease his ego a little bit. Although that'll kind of settle down as people get used to the reality of him being a candidate. But he might be the... Bernie's going to win it. I mean, you can have Buttigieg out there in Indiana raise as much money as he wants to and try to wave every intersectional flag that he can to get attention for the lack of a policy. What do you think about taxation and quantitative easing? Well, let's see here. I checked these intersectional boxes. So there are my qualifications and my thoughts on that. Literally answers no questions. Yeah, it doesn't. But intersectionality. Like that's supposed to be the thing, right? It's the skeleton key that opens all the doors. But it'll be interesting to see how far this goes. I told you there were going to be more. I told you there were going to be a lot more. Also, this is interesting. This came from the Daily Caller. It says firms tied to Fusion GPS. Now, pause. Fusion GPS is the Glenn Simpson founded firm that was not advocating. They were lobbying for Russia and their oligarchs trying to affect U.S. policy and have sanctions rolled back against Russia. But they're not registered under FARA, the Foreign Agents Registration Act. That's why one of the reasons Manafort got charged. But, you know, apparently that Democrat privilege, though, it's like that Costco card, I'm telling you. Anyway, Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele were paid $3.8 million by a Soros-backed group. It's called the Democracy Integrity Project. Pause. I love how it's completely just oxymoronic. I mean, those two words cancel each other out. It's adorable. Play. The Democracy Integrity Project, a nonprofit that receives funding from Soros, paid firms tied to Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele more than $3.8 million in 2017. Their tax filings show that the Democracy, quote-unquote, Integrity Project provided its research to government entities. The founder, a former staffer for Feinstein, we've talked about this before, they described it as a shadow media organization that helps. I'm helping, like Ralph in The Simpsons when he doesn't do a damn thing, that helps the government. So that's kind of interesting that they got so much cash money from George Soros. He is the bad guy from Scooby-Doo. Every time you take the mask off, it's that guy. He is a richer Bloomberg. He really is. And a more international Bloomberg. I think Bloomberg wants to be Soros. Golly, these guys. We have more to come. And later on, we're going to talk to Representative Steve Scalise. We're also going to talk to Abby Johnson, who's the movie Unplanned about her life story. Some of the interesting ways in which Hollywood and tech have tried to just suppress this movie. But it had a super strong opening weekend. We're going to get into that. We got Quick Five for you as well coming up. And all kinds of stuff. Ooh, and some really egregious media bias. In the meantime, our good friends down at Kel-Tec make some really super awesome stuff. And it's a Florida company. They are it's just an all-American story, privately owned family company. They started doing this in 1995. And I think George Kellgren locks himself into a room and just comes up with crazy stuff and then comes out and says, ta-da. Because some of the stuff is just, I mean, it's very... I don't want to, weird almost sounds pejorative, and I don't mean it like that. It's just super different, super cool. I mean, it's stuff that makes you look more hardcore than you normally do anyway. But they have all kinds of stuff, whether it's the KSG, their tactical shotgun line, which is just ridiculously awesome. That thing is amazing, and it's only 26.1 inches overall length, easy handling. They have the new KS7, by the way. That's the latest in the tactical, that shotgun line. The KS7 is compact. It's lightweight. Has an 18.5-inch barrel. It has a carry handle. Makes it super easier for carrying. And it has the M-lock slots that carry on that carry handle and on the pump and stock. And single tube magazine holds 6 3-inch shells, plus you got one chambered. So if you want 2 3/4-inch shells, KS7 holds 7+1. It is so much better than ordinary shotguns. So that's the new one. And just like all the other stuff, the KS7 has patented Kel-Tec downward shell ejection. So hot brass isn't flying up in your face. And ladies, up in your bra. Just FYI, because that's a reality. It's a reality, and we all know it. It is, the KS7 is, it is a 12-gauge pump action micro beast. That's the best way to describe it. You get to see everything that Kel-Tec has to offer. K-E-L-T-E-C, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them that your girl Dana sent you. Super Beats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Super Beats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
Listen live around the world
at danaradio.com,
at DLash on Twitter, on Snapchat and Instagram too, and sometimes I do some fun live streams on Instagram, so you may want to check those out. We got headlines. We got hot, fresh headlines here.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So yesterday we were telling you about how the Baltimore mayor, She's got a little trouble with Kaiser Permanente. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, it turns out they bought a ton of her books so that they could get a no-bid deal with the University of Maryland's medical system, apparently. And now she's taking a leave of absence in the midst of her Healthy Holly book controversy. Oh, yeah, sure. Wow, Baltimore. So corrupt. This is hysterical. I love this. So a 12-year-old... this in Michigan went viral because the kid started fixing potholes in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. Look how I got that on the second try. High five for me. It's gone viral after video captured this 12-year-old kid addressing his city's rampant pothole problem all by himself. Monty Scott told local news station that he's filled 15 potholes after his mom and grandma's cars were damaged driving on the roads and they needed to be repaired. He says, "I didn't want people messing up their cars like my mom did. If somebody were to drive their car down the street and hit a pothole, they'd have to pay $600 to $700 to get their car fixed and they'd be mad." And I love this kid. He's 12 years old. And they said that the potholes were really, really bad. The mayor did. She told the Detroit Free Press that. She goes, "It's unfortunate that the problem is so bad that he feels that he has to do that." Yeah, it's unfortunate that all y'all adults out there are watching this 12-year-old kid go out there and fill them potholes and nobody's going out there to help him. Oh my gosh, this kid is amazing. How cool is this kid? Like, he should get a medal or something. I mean, seriously, everyone else is complaining about the cost of croissants and this kid's out there filling up potholes. Everybody has a seat. CNN's Jeff Zucker eyes a run for New York City mayor. Of course, at some point they all do. Millions without water as the Venezuela crisis deepens. We told you how Maduro is now they're rationing electricity for the next 30 days. Well, now they have problems with water in addition to crime and everything else because, you know, socialism. Apparently inhaling sugar can help you fight bronchial infections because apparently sugar can aid in by stimulating white blood cells, according to a new study. Wow. Stay with us.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash
and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Poignant about the end of something. Maybe that's why people get drunk on New Year's Eve to forget it. It's sad to think that a whole year is over. But if you think New Year's is depressing, how would you feel if you thought that all life on this planet was ending soon? 3 million years of human history erased forever. Sad, isn't it? Chris Hayes thinks so. Chris Hayes is what every man would be if feminists ever achieved absolute power in this country. Apologetic, bespectacled and deeply, deeply concerned about global warming.
And they're actually, it's hysterical because it is, the feminists are mad. But it's true. I mean, sometimes there are dudes who need glasses, but you know what I'm talking about. When with that, I do think that I can't, nothing. Let me roll back here. Do you remember that commercial where this woman was swooning over this dude who was doing all the cleaning and all this stuff, and she like went out and had a day. She comes back and he's doing all the vacuuming and all the, I mean, I think there's a difference between having a dude help out when both of you work, you know, and then that. Because he was, it didn't show him as, yeah, honey, I'll help out. It was emasculating. And there's a difference between that. A huge difference. And I remember thinking, well, that's not, you know, because both my husband and I work and he does stuff around the house. And I do stuff like load the dishwasher better than he does, but that's a whole other story. He's wrong. He always will be wrong. And because he doesn't have a radio show, that's just stuff. That's just how it is. You're wrong about loading the dishwasher. I do it the right way. Well, it's not at all a point of contention in our home. I don't know if you can tell that. But this, what they showcased was just this guy who is completely emasculated. And I do feel, I've met some of these, like the dudes who call themselves feminists. Ugh, stop. Stop it. Just be a gentleman. You realize that being a gentleman kind of encompasses that, right? Like all the traits that you're trying to go for, it kind of includes all of that. Being a gentleman includes that. It means you're respectful. And I mean, stop it. But he's right, though. But they're all mad. All the feminists got mad at him for saying something that was just true, frankly. Yeah. I mean, he isn't wrong. The Daily Beast has a whole piece on it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe he said that. And it's probably one of the, I feel like the guys who would get offended by it are probably like the guys that he's describing in this. I mean, it's like a difference between the dudes who have drinks with skirts and the dudes who just have some whiskey. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Anyway, so he's just getting hit. They're all going to be mad at him. It's never going to change. They're going to hate him every single day. And they, we're going after him for talking that way and presenting, well, that's what every man would be if feminist had absolute power. Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, if feminist had absolute power, every man would just be a sad shadow of what a man is supposed to be. Because people don't I think that people who have a problem with masculinity don't understand masculinity. That's the problem. We have a lot of stupid interpretations from people who are trying to create something that they can have a problem with so that they seem completely original and smart. Like, look at me. I've discovered something to have a problem with that you guys missed all of these years. Let me write a think piece to my laptop that's covered with hipster stickers. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think that what he said was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. I want to switch it to this particular story because there's justice and then there's social justice. And this is so dumb. It's dumb. So two things. First, the Supreme Court, this was the other day, they halted the execution of a Texas 7 gang member. He was a part of some prisoners that about 18 years ago, they got out and they killed a cop. Well, it was halted the other evening after a Buddhist priest was not able to get into the execution chamber. 57-year-old Patrick Murphy was scheduled to receive a lethal injection at the state penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas, last Thursday. He said his life should be spared because he didn't fire the fatal shot. The death row inmate, who became a Buddhist a decade ago while incarcerated, had also asked that his execution be stopped until prison officials allow his spiritual advisor to be with him when he is put to death. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm going to try to get through this. So they had a last-minute ruling. The Supreme Court stopped the execution based on the decision to not allow a Buddhist priest into the execution chamber. They said that the Texas Department of Criminal Justice had violated his religious rights. Only prison employees are allowed in the execution chamber, and only Christian and Muslim clerics are employed by the state. So a spokesman for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice said the order will be reviewed. I'm sorry, but I'm calling shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans on this. A spokesperson for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice said the order will be reviewed by prison legal teams to determine what any future impact it may have. Kavanaugh wrote, as this court has repeatedly held, governmental discrimination against religion violates the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. I understand what Kavanaugh is saying here, and I'm not disagreeing with him. I just think you're on death row because you killed a cop, because you're a murderous SOB, and everybody on death row is innocent, don't you know? And why are we sitting here, you know, all of this, why are we sitting here like babying these people who are murderers? Why are we babying you? In the hell, how long did it take? Why are we babying you? Seriously, criminals thrive on this indulgence. They absolutely do. We coddle people. I'm not saying cut people's hands off and stuff, but I'm like, if you're a murderer and you're too dangerous to ever live of your own free will freely with people because you're going to kill them all, maybe you shouldn't be on this earth. Get the hell off. Bye. This is the way our justice system is. You know you could be put to death by killing people, so you chose to be put to death because you killed people. That's the quickest way to do it. Why are we sitting? I mean, honestly, what I don't know. Maybe that's me. I'm a little OT versus new T. I'm a little OT about some of this stuff. That's me. You heathens won't understand that. That's me, though. Right? Am I being ignorant? Am I being, oh, Dana, you're ignoring his rights, blah, blah, blah. He's about to be put to death. Come on.
I mean, I could play devil's advocate here.
Be devil's advocate.
I agree with the Kavanaugh.
Normally, but you actually agree with me, but be devil's advocate.
Right. The devil's advocate would be, yes, look, who are we to discriminate on which religion
he's about to die.
No, but listen to me. Listen, I'm playing devil's advocate.
I know.
So essentially, if a Christian, mm-hmm. a Catholic, or a Muslim,
sounds
or someone.
Sounds like a good joke starting.
Right. Walk into a bar. but think about it. They get their religious needs addressed at the time of death. By the state. So why wouldn't this guy be able to?
My whole thing is, why even that?
Well, we can discuss that. But
I mean, get it out of your system before you walk into the chamber.
There's already an established track record of these other religions getting their needs addressed at the time.
Yeah, get your needs addressed before you walk into the chamber.
Well, your spiritual needs.
Get your spiritual needs addressed before you walk in the chamber.
As devil's advocate, I would say that you're denying this guy what everyone else gets.
No, I mean,
you're not essentially the Texas State Department of Corrections or Department of.
Oh, no, I understand what it is.
They did that, not you.
Yeah.
If a Christian gets it, why wouldn't this Buddhist?
Well, why
get
can't
it?
They all just get their quote unquote spiritual needs met? Which I'm sorry, sounds suspiciously a lot like Al Gore asking a masseuse to release his chakra.
It's not the same.
It's not the same thing, but it sounds similar.
It's not even close.
But why can't they just do it right before they go into the chamber when they're in a place where the Buddhist priest could go?
Yes, I guess.
The Buddhist holy person?
I guess there's a system. There's a history. There's a track.
Like, have them go in the place
this.
Where the prison employees were before they have
Look,
to go
extent,
before he's transferred in
the
there.
The extent of my knowledge on this is watching movies.
No, I know. Mine, too.
Literally.
I saw parts of the Green Mile literally just over the weekend.
So I'm guessing that it's a little private time before you go into the public area where you're getting injected or electrocuted.
Yeah, well, have that private time in your private cell.
Right. That's what he was trying to do.
No. He wanted them in that chamber.
Well, he didn't. He wanted the stay of execution until he was able to get his spiritual
The way I read it, guidance. They couldn't come into that. Now I'm calling it this because I don't know what else to call it. Unless there, if I mean,
kill
if
zone?
You, thank you. I was going to say the killing room, but you know,
kill zone sounds better.
The room of justice. I don't know, but yeah, the way that I understood it, he could have had the guy. Now he said that he was the getaway driver. He said he wasn't.
He never
the
pulled
one.
The trigger, according to.
That's
right?
What he said. Yeah, no, none of them ever
also,
pulled the trigger.
I think that had a little weight too with this Supreme Court decision.
Maybe.
So, as devil's advocate, although I may agree that we overdo it. It's a flawed system. Even though our justice system is
completely.
Great, it's a flawed system. So you kind of, I'm against the whole death row for 30 years thing.
Oh, I am
like,
too.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, oh, you're convicted. Let's
but
walk
I get
you out
it
back.
Because think about someone who was wrongly convicted.
Yeah,
like,
I
they
get
need that,
too. That
time for the
there
appeal
were two
process.
Guys who just who were freed And so much of it, in fact, there was a guy who was freed on a, he was accused of rape by a woman who falsely accused him. And what, after 20 some odd years, he was freed. And then there were two other gentlemen.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that. So I understand the length of time.
By the way,
for the appeal
process. I think when that happens, they need to go after the people who determine that case with the full force and fury of the law. Completely.
And with all of that, it's still not 100%. You know what I mean?
It's an imperfect system.
Right.
But in these cases where these dudes, like, they are caught, these dudes are caught in the act, or they're, I'm just like, when you're convicted, walk you out back. They're not going to be, you're not going to be sitting in jail for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You're, say
again,
goodbye.
Like, there are wrongful convictions.
Put your stuff in a bag.
I mean, there are wrongful convictions. So I understand the length of time that these, because this is the end of life, right? So you kind of want to give them some time to appeal, especially if they're wrongly convicted for those reasons. And I get it. But I may not like it, right? I don't like some of the special treatment that they may get based on where they put themselves. But you got to have the base. Our justice system is based on those who are innocent until proven
guilty. I call shenanigans on this guy. I'm sorry.
And the appeal process is part of that.
He picked that. Let's see. What isn't allowed in the kill zone? Oh, Buddhist. I'm going to do that.
Well, maybe that was it. I don't know. Maybe that could be it. I don't have any proof that that's
the case. I am so cynical
either,
when it comes to this stuff.
But although I may agree with you on how we handle most of
it, I feel like you're convincing yourself over there.
I kind of am.
I know. I'm getting that
devil's
impression.
Advocate.
You just convinced yourself.
Yeah. So if
I'm not convinced.
If everyone else gets it,
I think they should all get their spiritual needs addressed before they go into the kill zone.
Yes.
For the lack of a better way to say it.
For whatever reason, this guy's spiritual guidance didn't show up in time, or it was. Was prevented.
No, because
something.
They only have a Muslim cleric and a Christian cleric employed.
So
they didn't have a Buddhist.
So you're right. Your assessment could be that this guy just used that system, knowing the Buddhist was not, just to get a stay of execution. The Buddhist.
That's what I believe.
That could be the case. I don't know, but I was playing devil's advocate.
No, I know. I'm just very. I feel as though with our justice system, I agree that it's not perfect. I think it's not perfect, and I think that we give so much. I think there's a lot of leniency, quite frankly. I think that there should be stronger penalties for some of these egregious crimes. If you're a child molester, how are you living? I think that should be a capital offense. I think rapists, I think that should be a capital offense. Now, I think that should be, I think that there are. Yeah, no, I think it's a capital offense. Definitely child molestation. That should take them out back immediately. Get it done. Because there's no way you're going to be able to go, I'm not guilty.
Those penalties, I mean, you have to vote on that stuff. You
know, I'm all for that.
The communities have to.
I'd vote yes for it. Loud and proud.
There was many years, and I probably still am for it, is doing this stuff pay-per-view. Because
I've been talking about this for a decade.
Sounds a little morbid, but.
Put it on pay-per-view. And then the money that is collected
goes to the victims, and
could go to the victims. Absolutely. It could go for a number of things.
I'm for that concept, right? Because I think people are morbid enough to pay to watch that stuff.
Yeah, they are. High world star.
Right.
Yeah, they are. They'll totally watch that. And it's and also I think it showcases a deterrent too for individuals who might think of committing such heinous crimes. I think when you have my whole goal is to make predators terrified. And prospective predators. I don't want to do that because, damn, they'll kill me right when I'm done, right when I'm convicted. I want them to be terrified to prey upon innocent people. That's my whole thing. And I look at this like with Chicago and St. Louis and Los Angeles and Baltimore and all of these individuals, the penalty is so ridiculously small that they have no fear, no hesitancy at all when reoffending because of that. And that's the thing. Now, do I think, because I know there you're going to get the requisite people who say, but, Dana, they came around and, they repented and they, grace and justice can coexist. But there's still justice. That's not how it is. We have a lot more to get into. See, I told you, I'm a little OT on this
stuff.
I think
part of that grace is allowing them their religious guidance.
Look at you. You know what? Get your religious guidance before you go into the kill zone, for crying out loud. All of them across the board. Get your needs met. Do what you got to do before you walk in and we flip some switches. Actually, they don't flip switches anymore, but anyway, you know what I mean. There is no good way to segue into this. No good way. I mean, I'm trying to think of something and I can't, and it's just not happening. I mean, I have a pretty morbid...
Get a job, don't do crime.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, get a job, don't do crime. I had another morbid way of actually going into it. But... yeah. Anyway, hiring can be incredibly challenging and very time consuming. You have multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. And there's one place that you can go, though, where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And it's where growing businesses could connect to qualified candidates. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Dana. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, and then they spotlight the top candidates so you don't miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 80% of employees who post on the site get a quality candidate within the first day. Now, all of my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by visiting ZipRecruiter.com/Dana. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Dana. D-A-N-A. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's The Dana Show.
Last two, Donald Trump.
We just got to survive these next 22 months or so. I think he is in danger of being the worst president in the history of the United States.
Barack Obama.
History is going to be extremely kind to Barack Obama. I don't say this because I was his friend or I was his attorney general. I studied American history. Over time, the estimation of him by historians will rise. It's already begun. He is going to be a top five.
Yeah, I have a lot more from Eric Holder, by the way, coming up later on into the program. We have that to come up to get into. I had another thing with the there was a Missouri case on cruel and unusual punishment. I might get into the weeds a little bit, but I thought that was very interesting, the arguments that were being put forth on this. I'm going to bookmark it because we may come back to it. But one of the other things that we're going to get into as we roll into our second hour, crazy, crazy, crazy media bias. I have some examples for you today. And another person wants, somebody else in government wants to ban Chick-fil-A. I know. We have that for you. We're also going to discuss the latest with some 2020 stuff. A lot of other developments in Qatar, really, really, really working hard to try to influence policy in the United States. We have all of that and more, including Florida Man, coming up in the second hour. Stay with us.
Honest to God, it never occurred to me as a candidate running for re-election or running for anything to sit down and talk to my friends and say, you know what? We're weak in that part of the state. Let's figure out a way that we can keep people from voting because they might be voting against me.
Oh my gosh.
And what I say to those Republican governors and attorneys general all over this country who are working overtime to try to suppress the vote for people of color, for young people, for poor people in general, what I say to them from the bottom of my heart is if they don't have the guts to participate in a free and fair election, they should get the hell out of politics and get a new job.
Angry old man yells at clouds. He did what?
He told people to get a new job.
Get a new job.
They need to get a job. He's never had a job.
Yeah. This is so crazy. Welcome back to the show. That's Bernie, in case you didn't know. It's Bernie. Bernie Sanders. At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Instagram and Snapchat. Yeah, that's, how many times have we heard that? Oh my goodness, it's because Republicans are racist. R-A-Y-S-I-S, racist. It's, no, that's not even in any remotely way accurate, but okay. Yeah, that's not how it works. But there we have it. So the, constantly, I mean, at least he's embracing the, still embracing identity politics hardcore. I have to share this with you. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I noticed this last night. I just want to, this is how media tries to gaslight you and makes you think that something is way bigger than it is. So, ABC had a story on Lupita Nyong'o. Who, if you remember, was in Black Panther and was in Avengers. What was it when they were all fighting the Thanos? The last Avengers. I got tickets, by the way, to Endgame. They went on sale this morning. What? You didn't see Endgame?
I'll tell you what I saw.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Yeah, what? Just we almost the show almost went to a ditch. What?
My bad.
Can't just do things like that.
My bad.
Anyway, Lupita Nyong'o, she was a famous actress. So she was. I haven't seen this yet because I've just been so busy with the book stuff and everything else. She is in Us, the movie Us, and that's obviously Jordan Peele's horror film. Is it really scary? Because I like to be terrified when I watch a film that's scary. Okay. I don't like it to be like, oh, it's a horror film, and I watch it, and I'm like, seriously, a jump scare? Really? Stop. I want it to be that plus psychological terror. Anyway, so she was discussing in this interview the inspiration about the voice that she uses for one of her characters in this film, and apparently, this is what they say, the source of the sound is actually causing some controversy. In the horror film, the actress plays both Adelaide Wilson, the mother of the family attacked in the film, and her murderous doppelganger, Red. The voice she uses for the latter is striking and an element that really brings her terrifying character together. The actress, 36, said she studied the condition spasmodic dysphonia, which she described as a condition that comes about from trauma, sometimes emotional, sometimes physical, and creates this spasming in your vocal cords that leads to an irregular flow of air. She said this during a red carpet interview with Variety. And apparently there are 50,000 people in the United States that are affected. There's a spasmodic dysphonia association. She says, I studied it. I worked with an ear, nose, and throat doctor, a vocal therapist, dialect coach to make sure I could do it safely because I had two roles to play. I didn't want to damage my voice. And she didn't, she said. And now here's where it gets stupid. However, Nyong'o using the condition as inspiration for her character's voice is rubbing some people the wrong way, actually living with the condition. Some took to social media to sound off on her tactic. So ABC cites three Twitter accounts. Three. One of them only has 25 followers. The other one only has maybe 3,000. And then the other one has like 90. No, I don't even think 90. I'm sorry. I think it was 50. Oh, no, sorry, 35.
Oh.
Whole 35 followers.
Journalism.
They took three Twitter accounts that have like zero followers. One of them literally has 25 followers. The other 10 more than that. And they made an entire news story out of it. And they described it when they tweeted it out. It said Lupita Nyong'o receives backlash. For her, that's how they headlined it. I retweeted it and I said, I have it. Go to my timeline at T-Lash on Twitter. I have the original tweet up there. You can see it yourself. They actually said that. Here's their tweet. Lupita Nyong'o faces backlash for Us voice after using a neurological disorder as her inspiration. Three tweets. One person with 25 followers, another with 35. One of them has a couple thousand. What? And I said, I tweeted it and I said, approximately three randos, two with under 30 and 40 followers, complaining about a movie, do not a backlash make. And I also think it's nobody, I'm so tired of people being offended by everything. Stop being offended over this and be actually grateful that this movie is actually putting this particular, because I'd never heard about this neurological disorder until I read her interview in Variety, actually. I read her interview in Variety not long ago, and I remember thinking, I never even knew that existed. And instead of being mad at her for it, maybe celebrate the fact that here it's getting wider attention and more people are aware. But more people aren't going to become aware with you bitching about it. And someone said, this isn't a costume to put on. She's an actress in a role. And she's showcasing something specifically. Stop being offended over every damn thing. I'm tired of it. If people want to get mad at her for doing that, then I think all the Sumerians, who I don't think are alive anymore, need to get mad at people wearing gold hoops. And we're just going to go down that road again. I'm just so done with this. Stop it. Stop being offended by everything. Get over your, just get over it. But that's interesting, because because I read that interview and I thought, whoo, because it made her sound even more interesting. It makes her character multi-layered. And that's very, and it also, if it's something from trauma, if it's something from, that gives another layer and really makes her character not flat. It makes it really well-rounded, a good character development. I just cannot imagine why people get mad all the time over stuff. Stop getting mad. So that's how ABC, though, wanted to showcase that. Three people, total randos with zero followers. The average bot has more flat followers than these people. They get mad and suddenly it's quote-unquote backlash. For real? It's backlash? Okay, speaking of a couple of things, I don't know if I want to get to this one or if I want to get to the New York Assembly person. So, Beto O'Rourke apparently had said that we only have 10 years left to act on climate change. He said that. Yeah, play that, because this is, he again, another rally. Who said this originally? AOC. She said it, right? So he took 2 years off of our life. She said we had 12. He says we have 10. Listen.
How in the world do we find ourselves in this position? And I direct you to Valencia from Florida, whose question I just listened to backstage. How does this first world country create second-class citizens who face third-world conditions? Let me take you to the state of Texas.
Oh, boy.
And so if we are going to confront any of these challenges, whether it's challenges to the economy or a system of health care or public education or confronting climate change before it is too late within the 10 years that we have left to us to act, then the single greatest mechanism that humankind has ever devised to call forth the power of the people, a democracy, must be fixed.
So we have 10 years left. 10 years. He took 2 years off our lives. Based on what?
Are climate years like dog years, where there's more than 1 year to equal one Earth year? Like two climate years to equal one Earth year? I have no idea what the
I
math...
I don't know either.
How the math happens.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's like dog years somehow. I don't know. We have 10 years left to act. Stop. I can't stand this whole... You know, all of this... I was thinking about this when I read this piece that actually I was going to talk about a little bit later. It was written over at the National Review. I thought it was interesting because, see, the left is also embracing populism. It was the dangers of unchecked nationalism. And there was a part there specifically that I thought was kind of interesting, where it was discussing how a tribe of prehistoric disciples of Ayn Rand, "This tuber is mine and you can't have any of it," would not last long against a band of small browed ruffians that worked well as a team. Talking about how working together as a team actually can help elevate, but it's done voluntarily, which I think is the big thing here. The John Galtz of the Savannah would scream, "You're violating my property right," as the brutes smashed their faces in with a rock. As G.K. Chesterton put it, "Nationalism is the consciousness of nationality, and the consciousness of a nationality comes from the constant consciousness of danger." This goes a long way towards explaining why nationalist movements inevitably find themselves using the language of war. And it's no coincidence that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez constantly invokes World War II as a rationale for the Green New Deal. And it gets in. The language of war flips a switch in our brains that causes us to drop other concerns and considerations. It's like the episode of Little House on the Prairie when Carrie falls down a mine shaft. Everyone drops what they're doing, forgets about property rights, commerce, or personal priorities, and rallies to save the girl. Nels Olson, the owner of Olson's Mercantile, doesn't charge anyone for the lanterns, kerosene, or rope he lends for the effort. Nobody says, "You can use my horses, but it'll cost you $5. In times of emergency, we're all in it together. And that's a good thing. But there are two caveats. The first is that emergencies do not last, and when the emergency is over, the old rules need to come back. If they don't, then capitalism, democracy, and liberty are done for. Emergencies must be the exception to the rule, because if we make the spirit of emergency the rule, then we no longer live under the rule of law, but the rule of tyrants or mobs. The second problem is that real emergencies must be obvious to all, or at least nearly all. There are moral equivalents to war. A girl down a mine shaft is one. A meteor heading towards the earth is another. There are various forms of natural disaster, zombie, vampire, and all kinds of apocalypses. The problem is that there are people who are attracted to the power that comes with emergencies. Power is seductive in whatever form it takes. Emergency powers, money, infinity stones, one ring, or as we saw in the case of Jussie Smollett, the cultural power that comes with being able to claim you are a victim. This leads people to declare emergencies when they do not exist or to exaggerate real challenges so they can do an in-run around the conventional rules of democracy. If left unchecked, nationalism devolves into the spirit of emergency. It's very good. And then the problem is that there are people who are attracted to the power that comes with emergencies. It's a Jonah Goldberg piece. Very good. I don't agree with him all the time, but I agree with that. We have more to touch on, and we have headlines coming up and Florida Man later on. Ooh, and I know y'all love some Florida Man. Oh, I got some good ones for you for Florida Man you don't want to miss. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? 46% of American adults have outstanding balance on their credit cards. There's a way for credit users with good credit to get a break. You can refinance your high interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. With LightStream, you'll find rates as low as 6.14% APR when you sign up for autopay. The rate is fixed and won't ever go up. If you need a loan for anything from $5,000 to $10,000, you should check out LightStream. No fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Don't throw more money away. Refinance your credit cards today into a lower rate. And right now, my listeners will receive additional interest rate discounts. But the only way to get this discount is to visit lightstream.com/DL. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/DL.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/DL for more information.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
We have Florida Man coming up a little bit later. I messed up when I said we had Steve Scalise today. We have Steve Scalise tomorrow. So, big difference there. So, we have all of this. We have Abby Johnson later on to talk about all of the stuff that Unplanned, the movie, had to deal with on its opening weekend. Insane. In the meantime, let's kick it into some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This study, it said children of lawyers are 17 times more likely to become lawyers. Your family will never escape the legal profession. Sorry about that. It's actually a new book on social mobility. It said your children are lawyers 17 times more likely to become lawyers. It's called Class Ceiling, and they said it's mainly because of parental influence, and that they said that the author's analysis of the labor force survey shows the law is the second most inheritable of 20 professions examined, meaning kids are just end up being persuaded just because they see what their parents do and their parents talk about it. They just go into what their parents do. Very interesting. Anyway, moving on down the line here. Measles in the United States, already more cases than all of 2018. It surged past the total for the last year, according to health officials and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 387 cases through March. There were 372 last year. 372. Just through March, we've hit 378. It had been eradicated, but if only there was something made to prevent that you could take when you were a kid. Look at you getting all mad at me. It's all right. Scientists create a 3D printer with the potential it can actually print organs. This is amazing. So it's UC Berkeley and Lawrence Livermore Lab. They've created a 3D printer that could potentially manufacture living human organs. It builds up thin layers of melted plastic to create solid objects. But they got the idea. That's how most of them work. It's the process by which they do it's fascinating. But they can print they're volumetric printing to arrange human cells into living organs is how they're approaching it. That is unbelievable. Jussie Smollett faces a lawsuit over attack, and it could get him fired from Empire, according to TMZ. He just may have been checkmated by the city of Chicago. They say the city's now demanding that he pay $130,000 for the overtime required to investigate his now infamous quote-unquote attack. And they sent him a demand letter, too. His lawyers have rejected it. We'll see where it goes. More in store. Stay with us.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
But the thing is, they are cowardly. I mean, history will not only judge Donald Trump harshly, it will judge Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and all the other cowards who refused to stand up to this president and allowed the party of Lincoln to die. They will be judged harshly because whatever he says goes, right?
That's Tom Perez, who's the chair of the DNC. So he basically says that everyone who supports, or I guess votes and, you know, otherwise supports the president is they're going to be judged harshly. Wow. And what about your party that can't even, how many times have they now tried to pass the Born Alive Infant Protection Act and they still refuse to vote for it? They can't bring themselves to vote positively on a bill that would provide medical treatment to infants that survive abortions. So you tell me about being judged harshly, Tom Perez. Good grief. These people, this party, insane. Well, then you have Beto. Boy, oh boy. Uh-oh, Beto. He compared the Electoral College to slavery. Oh, what? Oh my gosh. This comes from the Washington Free Beacon. The Free Beacon says he endorses abolishing the Electoral College. I don't know if we have this particular audio. I don't know if I sent this one, but it's in that link. He wants to, all of them, I guess, now are on board with abolishing the Electoral College. They want mob rule. And he said that it was like slavery. Listen to, this is where he's talking about it.
Let's abolish the Electoral College. The night after the presidential election in 2016, Amy and I were talking to each other, and we were like, how are we going to explain to Ulysses and Molly and Henry, who are now 12, 10, and 8, that the person who got 3 million more votes just lost the election? And then we were talking to each other, and we're like, how do we explain that to ourselves? Like, what? Why is this okay? This is one of those bad compromises we made at day one in this country. And there are many others that we can think of, and they are all connected, including the value of some people based on the color of their skin. There is a legacy and a series of consequences that have persisted and remain with us to this day.
See, it's like slavery.
And this conversation about how we repair the damage, how we make things right, and how we keep from committing the same injustices going forward is squarely connected to the reason that we are all convened here today, and that is fixing our democracy. So yes, if we got rid of the Electoral College, we get a little bit closer to one person, one vote in the United States of America.
See, they want to get rid of the Electoral College because they want more Democrats to win. That's what this is.
Can they read the Federalist Papers and just...
No, they don't understand that. They think it's a relic. They think that the Founding Fathers were wrong in what they set up and that it's bad. We have an Electoral College because electors are picked through popular vote from each state. Rather, the electors, they're chosen through their electors are the ones who choose them according to the popular votes of each state. That's how that works. So it's like having, you know, all these, a separate election for each state,
yeah,
essentially.
Absent of democracy.
Right. And that's, it's done that way so that every single state in the nation has a say in who is going to sit in the Oval Office. That's how this works. The number of electors is the number of members in its congressional delegation. You have one in the House of Representatives, two for your senators. So everywhere, north, south, east, west, all have influence in who sits into the White House. Because it's a republic. It's a republic. This was, I thought, a great description from David Harsanyi. Diffuse democracy weakens the ability of politicians to scaremonger and use emotional appeals to take power. It blunts the vagarity, it blunts really the electorate, which is one of the reasons why they want to, they're attacking the Electoral College. This, the Electoral College is something that balances democracy. It's something that stops one entity from becoming way too powerful. Right. And it makes it to where anybody running for office and the party that they represent, they have to consider every single part of America when they're running for office, not just one part. Do you want Manhattan to be determining the way that the country works? And it also, you're also protected from being bullied from more populous areas. I mean, that's it. I mean, this is, it's about winning the Electoral College and the way that it's set up. It's about winning states over people. So the people who are attacking the Electoral College do not understand how the Electoral College functions within the context of our republic, which is what our country is. We do not have direct democracy. We do not have mob rule. An election without the Electoral College is like two wolves and a lamb voting on what they want to have for dinner. That's something that Ben Franklin had said, which is why they instituted an Electoral College, because they have seen this work. I mean, you have to think about everything that was happening at the moment when our founding fathers were writing our, when they were crafting our founding documents. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's exactly how it would function. And I don't know that I want anyone in office who's too stupid to understand that, to be frank. I really don't want anyone in office who's too dumb to understand that.
Who claims and says he can't explain it to his kids. He doesn't even know.
I don't know how to explain this to my kids because I just don't know. Good grief. By the way, isn't this the same event? He was at the We the People membership summit, and apparently, so the Democrat candidates, they kicked, let me pull this up, they kicked off the forum by chanting a quote from a cop killer. It was the 2019 We the People Summit. It's been this week in Washington. The NAACP's Jamal Watkins, according to an article from a friend of mine, said they offered some opening comments, then led the crowd in a lively chant. Rather than the quotes from the founding fathers or Democratic presidents, Watkins chose a chantable quote from Assata Shakur, who killed a New Jersey cop and then fled to Cuba, where she remained. They led the crowd in a chant, "It's our duty to fight to win our freedom. It's our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains." And that's Assata Shakur. She's referencing Karl Marx, who said, quote, "Let the ruling classes tremble at the communistic revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win." So that's where... So that's how Democrats started their damn event that Beto spoke at just then, that you heard, as he talked about getting rid of the Electoral College. Why did they turn into a hero, a convicted cop killer, or a cop killer? How do they someone who murdered an officer in cold blood and then fled to Cuba? How do you lionize someone like that? Oh, well, this is the party again. Will not give any medical care to a baby that survives abortions and is completely fine with late-term abortions as late as in the 9th month. Which has nothing to do with the mother's health, because if the mother's health is in question, they just have a C-section. They don't abort the child. In the 9th month. Good grief. But this is who these people are. This is how far left they've gone.
Do you want to hear some of the audio? Because I think I have some of the audio from what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's take a listen.
Maybe this is
it. My name- name is Jamal Watkins, and I proudly serve as the Vice President of Civic Engagement for the NAACP. I bring you greetings on behalf of our President and CEO, Derek Johnson, our Chair, Leon Russell, our Vice Chair, Karen Boykin-Towns, but more importantly, our millions of members and advocates and activists around the country who are standing for we the people in terms of fighting for democracy, advancing issues of racial justice, and making sure that we're tearing down the silos as it relates to building communities. It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love each other and respect each other.
We must love each other and respect each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
Now we're going
to
take it as loud as we can get. It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love each other and respect each other.
We must love each other and respect each other.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. Quoting Assata Shakur, who is quoting Karl Marx. That's Democrats. Damn. 2020. There you go. There's your 2020 socialists, y'all. Woo. We have more to get into. We got Florida Man. Oh, my gosh. You do not want to miss Florida Man because we got some good. We got good Florida Man for you. Super Beats can help you with your increase in energy and focus all day by delivering to your body dietary nitrates. And dietary nitrates kickstart the body's production of nitric oxide. That's what makes your arteries wide and flexible, increases your circulation, maintains healthier blood pressure, and distributes all of those good nutrients and the oxygen throughout your body faster. And this is where you get your increased energy and focus. It's what caffeine and the super, super sugary, quote unquote, energy drinks, that's what they try to mimic and what Super Beats does naturally. Heat destroys nitrates. So if you cook your beets at home, you're not going to get the same effect. You're just getting the vegetable sugar. Super Beets has a cold drying process. They dry it all out. One scoop, 4 ounces of water is all it takes. You can try it risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com to get this offer, and you'll get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com. They'll also send these nitric oxide indicator strips to measure your own nitric oxide levels as well. Do it before and after. Visit danasbeets.com or call 800-664-5617.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
We have Florida Man on the way. And some other very interesting stuff. I was reading this article about how Pete Buttigieg's father was a Marxist professor who celebrated the Communist Manifesto. Oh. Democrats. Them Democrats, though. Anyway, his father had immigrated to the U.S. from Malta in the 70s. And he was an advisor to Rethinking Marxism, an academic journal that published articles that sought to discuss, elaborate, or extend Marxian theory. I love it how people try to make something so stupid and idiotic, try to seem very part of the smart set, very intelligentsia. His dad had written an article that said if the Communist Manifesto was meant to liberate the proletariat, the manifesto itself in recent years needed liberating from Marxism's narrow post-Cold War orthodoxies. It has been freed. After a musical interlude, seven people read different portions of the manifesto, blah, 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 blah. He basically is like, ooh. Pete called his dad a man of the left, no easy thing on a campus like Notre Dame in the 80s. So how much was he influenced by him? I'm curious. I mean, how much was he? His dad is a super lefty. I mean, if the left had a super lefty with a cape, it'd be his dad would have it. Whew. Yeah, so he also liked one of the, they called him, he's a scholar, Gramsci, who apparently entertained Bolshevism and endorsed Lenin's maximalist politics, identified within the Leninist faction of the Italian communists, and all kinds of stuff. There you go. Well, yay. I'm just curious. Like, if like father, like son, I don't know. Your parents influence you. I think it's fair to ask. Let's kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Let me ask you this question. So would you go to a doctor who you thought maybe was legit, somebody who sold you vitamins, ordered blood work, and then had other things, but he operated his practice out of a double wide?
Oh.
Hmm. Brooksville, Florida. Police arrested a man in Florida accused of posing as a doctor. This is like Royal Tenenbaums. And selling supplements from his double-wide mobile home. Hernando County deputies say 62-year-old Mike Fagan saw clients, sold vitamins, ordered blood work, and claimed to have a machine that treats cancer. An undercover deputy visited the home complaining of cancer. The deputy reports that Fagan suggested herbs and other things to kill it and eliminate toxins. He's out of jail on a $5,000 bond. Deputies say he faces a felony charge. You think? Good grief. What? How does someone end up going there? I don't know. Not to be confused with professional builder.
Right, but as soon as I see a double wide, I'm going to GNC.
Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just your doctor. You want your doctor to be in a medical office.
Not double wide.
Right? It's like, I wouldn't go. Would you go to somebody's? Would you literally go to somebody's house to be treated? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. Stop it. Golly. Oh, there's more. Florida man believes he was half man, half dog. WKRN. A Florida believed that he, what is it, a chimera? Is that what they call those? Yeah. A forensic psychologist says a former college student believed that he was half dog, half. Actually, I just had this the other day. This is the guy who ate the faces off of people because he was on crazy amounts of bath salt. Remember? And he said, oh, it's because I was half man, half dog. No,
I thought
yeah.
He thought the other guy was a werewolf or something. Yeah. I thought that's what
this guy was. Is the dumbest criminal and one of the dumbest criminals ever. It's Patch. Florida man arrives in stolen Jeep to look for cell phones, say cops. A Florida man allegedly drove a stolen Jeep back to the scene of a crime to ask if anyone found his missing cell phone. Winter Haven, Florida. A Florida man allegedly drove a stolen Jeep back to the scene of his crime and asked, had anyone found my cell phone? Which was pinging back to the residence, according to police. Ronnie Dylan Willis. That's his name. Someone gave him that name. Ronnie Dylan Willis. Not enough eyes in it. Arrived at the home of the victim on March 24th in the tan Jeep Patriot. He was greeted by Polk County sheriffs who just happened to be conducting an interview about the stolen car, the stolen Jeep that he literally just drove up in. The deputy, who could not believe that the way this call was unfolding, arrested Ronnie Dylan Willis for a grand theft of a motor vehicle. And he was also charged with driving while license was suspended, revoked, because it turned out he had a suspended license. By the way, that's a criminal act and it is not a loophole. Right. Yeah. He had told the deputy that he woke up in the victim's vehicle. He didn't know which one, but he had to go somewhere. So he just done drove off, Ronnie Dylan Willis. And then he realized he didn't have his phone. So he had to go back and get it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. A Florida man brings He brings a sword to a squeegee fight. Oh my gosh. Port St. Lucie, Fernandez Latorre got a machete and chased his victim. He was arguing with his victim about a squeegee. Really? The victim jumped on a pickup truck. Latorre is quoted as screaming, I'll kill you, I'll kill everyone. And in classic TC Palm style, a squeegee is a T-shaped tool with a cross piece edged with leather or rubber. I'm going to finish this tomorrow because this is worth it. Stay with us. Third hour next.
Allie, the question is, even though we've seen a reversal in the ozone problem in the Southern Pole and no problem here, the question is, if we make the global commitment to reduce those greenhouse gases, can we reverse the climate change we're seeing now? Right now, nobody knows. And of course, we haven't done anything really to make that reversal happen.
Nobody knows really anything. We haven't done anything to make anything that nobody knows, whatever they know it. What? Yay, science. Oh, man. Welcome to the third hour of the program. At Dean Lash on Twitter. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. So, this A lot going on. We're going to talk to Abby Johnson coming up a little bit later on, because she is all about, her life story is Unplanned the Movie. That's her life story. And it had for all of the forces that try to keep this movie down, it's amazing. It had a great opening weekend, just a great opening weekend. And so we're pleased with that. I can't get this. Can I address this? Because I cannot get the story out of my head. So we were on break and I made this mistake. I click on everything that's dog related. I'm like, there's the dog, click. And oh my gosh, I clicked on the face of the sweet little puppy, and the horrible headline is, puppy is picked up and carried away by an owl before being found 12 hours later on a golf course. And immediately I'm like, where's my 308? I'm going to go get this owl, which is probably illegal. But I'm, you know, if it took my puppy, theft is also illegal. It's true. Even if you're an animal, I don't care. I'm reading this story and I have so much judgment in my head. Like, I am so judging this lady so hard, and I don't mean to. I'm like a mess over here. We're on break and I am a mess reading this story because I am just ridiculous when it comes to dogs. Oh my gosh. So it said the dog owner let her four puppies go out. What kind of puppies were they? I don't know. They look like little furry things. It was a mixed breed, but they kind of look like collies and German shepherds and collies. I don't know. Anyway, this lady said that it was a female pup, that she let her puppies go outside for a potty break in Arizona, in Scottsdale. And when she went to let them back in, the 12-month-old, the female puppy, Latte, was nowhere to be found. She says, I didn't hear a sound. The other puppies didn't bark. She just vanished. And they searched for hours. They post notices. And then 12 hours later, the dog was found by golfers at a golf club in Scottsdale. She was under a tree. She was dehydrated and weak. She had wounds in her head from where the owl's talons punctured her skull. And they took her to the animal rescue. And she's going to recover after a few weeks. Bless her little heart. She just went through it. This poor little pup. Oh, my gosh. And I cannot help it, but I'm like, how do you not watch your puppy when you let him outside? I am so full of judgment. I don't know. How do you not watch your puppies when you take them outside? How do you not watch them?
Those birds of prey are pretty cunning. I mean, sometimes when there's a lot of tree cover and you're in the backyard and you have this false sense of security, but those birds of prey are sitting in those damn trees.
Oh man, we had one when Rocco, my Frenchie, when he was a pup, there was a hawk that was in a tree, and I watched that hawk. I went out with Rocco every single time. I was following Rocco, and that bird sometimes would swoop. It was nuts. And then, oh, you guys want to hear, and I have other news to get to, but you guys want to hear a really horrible story. Oh, so bad. So this is why I went out with a rifle, grabbed a 308, went out to my yard with my dogs and went out the last time. Because our neighbors, where we used to live, we were right by a ranch, and I could hear coyotes out there all the time. So the first time there was this, what was it? What are they called? Is it a pheasant? Pheasant. Yeah. Are those the one that scream like women?
Oh, no, they're not. It's guineas.
Guinea hens. Guineas. So there was this guinea, this wild guinea that was like the pet of the neighborhood, right? Running all around the neighborhood. And I don't know what guineas, I remember my grandma had guineas, and I remember something like corn, and the closest thing I had was Doritos. And so I tried to leave it like Doritos out in the yard so it would stay, and I took video of it. Every time I got near it though, it went ah! Like that. Every time I got near the stupid guinea, it would go ah! And it sounded like a woman, like a lady was scared. I didn't know what to do. And so I just left it alone because it would do that every time I got near it. Well, anyway, long story short, woke up one night because we had been hearing from other neighbors that there were some coyotes running around near the ranch. And there was a lot of acreage in that ranch. And we would hear sometimes the donkey in the middle of the night, like yelling, and we were imagining it kicking at some coyotes. I don't know. Anyway, I woke up at like 3 a.m. one night, and you want to know what I heard? I heard the yips of the coyotes. Yip, 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 because that's what they sound like. They don't bark. They don't howl. They yip like that. I heard the coyotes, and then you want to know what else I heard? Oh gosh, this is horrible. I heard, ah! Ah! That's what I heard. I heard yip 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 ah yip 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 ah, ah, ah. That's what I heard. Chris up and I go, Chris. And he listened and he goes, well, there goes that guinea. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I never saw the guinea again. So a week after that, our neighbors, they let their dog, it was a smaller dog, but they let their dog out into their fenced backyard, privacy fenced backyard. And those coyotes had dug a hole under the fence. They grabbed the neighbor's dog and drug it under the fence. And I guess they just tore it apart. So I was out there with my rifle every time I went out with them dogs. And my husband's like, they're not going to get over the fence. I'm like, they'll dig underneath it. I see, and I, you can shoot them suckers in Texas because they're nuisance animals. I see one of them coyotes trying to get my dogs. Bam, I will get you. I will not even hesitate. So long story short, and then that was when we had the possum episode. I told you guys that story, right? Yeah, I remember that. Steve, did I tell everybody that story?
Yeah, a long time ago, but yes.
Okay, so then we had the possum episode after that. That's why I thought that that was a coyote, and I dove, and I was punching a possum in the head. By the way, my hands smelled like BO after I touched that possum, and I had to use that special fancy steel soap that you use when you cut onions. I was just trying to get that smell off my hands. It was ridiculous. Anyway, long story short, they didn't get my dogs. Now I got to worry about bobcats. Because now where we are, I have bobcats I got to worry about. And if it's not a coyote, it's a bobcat. I mean, I love nature and all, but leave my dogs alone. You know what I'm saying? And if you're an owl, I will hit you with a bat. It's probably illegal for me to shoot you, but I'll hit it with a bat. I don't care. You can't take my dogs now. They're too big. But oh my gosh, how do you not go out with your puppies? That's like leaving your kids to play by the side of the road.
And you have to watch them better than watching them like a hawk.
Oh, yeah, you have to be better than the hawk at watching them. Yes. I don't know. But I think all of the other predators finally got wind that that lady is nuts. Don't mess with her. She will eat you and your whole family. She will find you and eat you. Anyway.
Can I hear the noise of that animal one more time?
Woo! Okay. It sounded like a woman who got scared. You don't believe me? Google this. Google, what sound does a guinea make? Google
it's
it.
Almost that song, What the Fox Says. Remember that from years ago?
That's what the, Google what sound they make, the guineas. That's all what right. They do. I swear, I had some Cool Ranch Doritos. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, corn, this is all I got, guinea. And so I was following it. My kids were like, why are you following that bird and throwing our chips at it? Because I was. And then this gets worse. I was following this guinea and I had the Cool Ranch Doritos because I'm like, corn, they'll love it. And it's got extra seasoning. Who doesn't like a Dorito? Okay, that's a lie. That is a lie.
They're saying that's a guinea hen. Though.
Okay, but they scream. It screamed at me like a lady. That's not anything that's even okay. Google what sound does a scared guinea make. What, Google that.
That's exactly what I did, and this is what came up.
Well, that's not right. No, it was. So I'm following it, and I'm like throwing these Doritos at it because I'm like, they love corn guineas. I don't remember. I was like 10 when my grandma had these. And it didn't like it. And it went, woo! And it just kept running away from me. Oh, but, and I thought maybe I could make that sound back at it because maybe that's how it talks. And, you know, like in Finding Nemo when she's talking to the whale, when Dory's talking to the whale. That's not right either. So I thought I could do the same thing to the guinea. And I think that just made it worse. So here I am out in my street throwing Doritos at this bird going, ah! Didn't work. But yeah, I heard that in the middle of the night. Yip, yip, yip. Woo! That's what we heard. And the guinea's gone now. Guinea is long gone. It was in the belly of a coyote. Anyway, long story short, when you take your puppies out, watch them. There we are. We're at the end of the story. All right. Now we have some other serious stuff. Serious things to get to. So there are questions being made as to whether or not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez even has an economics degree. Now, some people are doing research on it right now, but it doesn't look good because apparently she is I mean, they were, I mean, maybe she does, is it doesn't matter because it doesn't, she doesn't understand the economy any better than what she already does. But I just find it interesting the way that there are actually some questions as to whether or not, I mean, I don't, some people were saying that, you know, she really listed as, you know, an alumni, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't, she still doesn't understand the economy.
What I thought she would, she had an economics training in like third world or depressed countries or something. It wasn't even like the economy as it relates to the United States and the rest of the globe. It was really like those disenfranchised economy. It was a weird, what I read yesterday about what she knew mm-hmm. about the economy, it was based in some sort of third world thing. Like it, like she was studying some other economy, not ours.
Yeah.
And it was just like those disenfranchised. I'll have to look that back up again, but that's what I was looking at yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe. But I wouldn't anticipate that the media would report on that. Just like they're not reporting on the whole Justin Fairfax, the LG of Virginia. All these women coming out. There was another accuser who came out this morning. Did you hear? She came out and gave another interview. She gave an interview this morning. There was a different accuser who gave an interview yesterday. And then yet a different accuser who gave an interview on Sunday. Nobody's talking about it. Because, again, when media, they determine what's newsworthy. What also factors into that decision-making process is how much that story will hurt Democrats. And if it will hurt them, they won't have anything to do with it. Coming up, Abby Johnson's going to join us about the movie Unplanned, which you need to go see and take your kids. Have the conversation with your kids. It's about abortion and how she had an awakening. And we'll talk to her coming up. Blink motion activated cameras are great when you want to watch the guinea hens run around your neighborhood or, you know, keep an eye out for coyotes. If you're crazy like me, or you're just protective of your pups, you know, also that. But they're great because they're wireless. You can put them anywhere you want, inside, outside. They have the outdoor XT. They have the indoor, outdoor. It doesn't matter where you put them. They have a live feed option as well where you can check in using the Blink smartphone app and just check in using the live feed option and keep an eye on stuff no matter where you are in the world. Just use that app. And you can also set each individual camera to send you a notification if it notes any kind of movement at all, and it'll send you a clip too, and you can determine whether or not you think, oof, that's sketchy, I need to do something about that, or, you know, just however you want to do it. Or maybe if you're watching your kids and they're supposed to be doing something and then they're not doing it, or they're doing something they're not supposed to do, you got video footage when you bring it to them and say, look, you messed up, you're grounded, and they try to contest it. Oh no, you got video footage, because mom and dad do really have eyes everywhere. They're simple and quick to install, and Blink camera systems are a great way also to monitor package deliveries. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Dana. That's BlinkProtect.com/Dana. Blink is an Amazon company.
It's the Dana Show.
I was waiting for the, who are you? Who, who, who? It's coming up. Oh, there you go. Stupid Alan puppy story. I'm obsessed. All right, let's kick it into headlines. Yay!
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Boy, this makes me feel really good about this whole car. Hackers apparently found a way to trick a Tesla Model S into going into the wrong lane. They just put stickers on the road. Jiminy Christmas. Forbes has the story. So that's what they did. They wanted to, they were elite hackers from China. That sounds like Hacker Man from, what's that story? Or that movie? Oh man, find it out. Find it out, Kane. I can't remember it. It's a horrible, horrible movie meant to be horrible. So they actually put stickers on the road to create a fake lane, and they did it. They were successful in doing that. That's really just, this is all Kane's fault, this story right here, so he cannot get mad at me for sharing it. An indigenous tribe in Washington is strategically placing beavers around to help salmon. These strategically placed beavers from the biologist, they're helping because of something. Actually, it's because the drainage has been where salmon need the streams clean. And that's what the beavers are coming in there to do, to clean it from the Himalayan blackberry and Japanese knotweed and all the other stuff that I didn't know existed until just today, years old, learning these plants. Moving on down the line, the New York City public school system apparently logged 464 major crimes last year, which is insane, according to the New York Post. Wow. New York City public schools, 464 major crimes, including a murder, 1,104 violent crimes like rape, robberies, and assault, according to data from the 2017-2018 academic year. 5,000 incidents that the Department of Education classified as non-criminal, including pot possession, disorderly conduct, and harassment. The Prospect Heights High School campus topped the list of the most major crimes, which also included assault and grand larceny, with 5 for the school year, according to the Department of Education. Wow. And they also got into weapons seizures and all kinds of stuff. Holy cow. That's, yeah, some people need some Jesus. Tell you what. And apparently, this was in Newsweek, and I'm sure cat lovers won't like it. Cats should be killed to save Earth's most endangered species from extinction, say scientists. Animals like feral cats and dogs should be culled from islands around the world to save their prey from extinction, said conservationists. You guys can all have a seat now that you included dogs. I'm done with this article. Ooh, they want to eradicate dogs, goats, and cats. That's what scientists are saying. Stay with us. Abby Johnson coming up.
Stream the podcasts. Tell your Amazon device, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
And as a strong supporter of Planned Parenthood, I want to applaud the grassroots activism of Planned Parenthood and standing up and not only fighting against these horrific anti-woman legislation that we are seeing all over this country, but standing up and saying that women will not accept, and men will not accept, the defunding of Planned Parenthood so that millions of women will no longer be able to get the health care that they want.
That is such a false statement. Welcome back to the show. That's such a false statement. That's Bernie Sanders there, obviously, because, you know, Planned Parenthood, I don't even think that they're offering fewer and fewer services to women. It's abortion that is the number one business. I mean, according to their own numbers, I mean, their financials are available on PDF online, just right off their site. And community health centers is what, when we talked about that just several years ago, when they through government funding received money, and we looked at how they were outnumbering Planned Parenthood clinics 3-1 across the country in every state. And they offered a full suite of services, including prenatal and even pediatrics. They have mammogram machines. They don't just give referrals. And they also dealt with men. And some of them even had dental. A lot of them even had dental. The idea that if you somehow were to take taxpayer funding to the tune of $500 million a year, by the way, folks, from Planned Parenthood, that women would just be left without health care whatsoever. That's just false, because, again, their own numbers show that the vast majority of their business is abortion. That's just the way that is what it is. And not a lot of people, really, particularly in the media, want to talk about it, just as they didn't really want to talk about the reality of what it actually is. And ever since Center for Medical Progress came out and was and with their undercover, with their expose showing the parts business, as it were, for the lack of a better way to describe it, I noticed that there's been a people are very, they don't want to acknowledge that those who are supportive of Planned Parenthood don't want to acknowledge that, because then they would have to talk about actually what it is that Planned Parenthood does. And the one movie that I have referenced previously, when we were talking about how the tech world was really messing with them on their opening weekend, is the movie Unplanned, which had its opening weekend this past weekend. And the day that it was in theaters, Unplanned, which looks at Abby Johnson's life, it's her life story. And she was the clinic director at a Planned Parenthood in Houston. And she resigned after she watched an ultrasound of an abortion. And she had all of these thoughts that occurred to her, and she walked away. This movie is about that. It tells this story, and it doesn't shy away from it. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. It says this is what it is. And the Twitter account, we talked about that, was really messed with over the weekend. Myself and hundreds of other people saw kind of how they were messing with it. They had suspended with it. They suspended it. They removed their followers. Then they wouldn't let anybody follow. And it was just a mess. And they had a very punitive rating, I think, that came from MPAA. All kinds of stuff that went down. Abby Johnson is on the phone with us right now to talk with us about this movie and just really the The way that, in spite of all of the attempts to suppress the story and the truth that this movie wanted to share with everyone across the country, it had one of the biggest opening weekends of any movie of its kind, and one of the biggest opening weekends of any movie that particular weekend that was released. Abby, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dana. Always good to talk with you.
And congratulations, by the way, on the success of this film, which is your story, and how many people that are being reached by this film. It's unbelievable to see so many, you know, people maybe whose hearts have been hardened previously now opening up to the truth, like, wow, this is what really goes on there, you know, at Planned Parenthood. And this is really kind of what it's about, more so than women's care. So congratulations on that. When you saw just the big opening, what was it, something like six, how, I don't forget how many millions that it raised, that it broke through this weekend. What did that feel like to know that your life story is actually playing out with other movies that come out of Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. It's pretty surreal because it is my story. It's, you know, always strange to see your life up on the big screen, but it's really exciting. You know, we made $6.4 million over the weekend. We were ranked number 4 in the box office overall on a quarter of the screens that the other films were playing on that ranked above us. So it was a great showing, great opening weekend, and we've opened now on almost 700 additional screens. So we're on about 1,700 screens nationwide. We want people to have access to this film. We believe that it's a really powerful tool that we can use in this movement. And it's just, I mean, we're all just thrilled with the success.
Right. And to see so many people react and talk about this film. And I was watching the way that it was playing out on social media platforms over the weekend, the opening weekend. It came out March 29th in theaters. And I know you've commented on this as well, because I've seen your account tweet out stuff, and I saw a lot of discussion on Facebook. Twitter suspended the account for Unplanned, the movie as well, which I want to get your thoughts on that, and I want to talk about the movie, but because that was pretty huge. And I think really with all the discussion that everyone has had about tech bias, that was the first time that a lot of people really saw it in action right in front of them, where they could actually watch it live, their inability to connect with that account. Did that surprise you, the efforts to sort of suppress this film before it could even get off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it did, actually, because I'm one of those people, you know, I hear about this and I think, okay, it's probably just some glitch. It's probably not, you know, what people are claiming it is. Nobody's out to get anybody. But then I see it happening, and I couldn't even follow my own film on Twitter. And so it was really, I mean, it was really pretty amazing to watch and to see play out. And even Donald Trump Jr. has a video of him on his Twitter profile of him trying to follow the account and not letting him. And there's like hundreds of videos like that.
Yes.
You know, when one thing happens, it's sort of like, okay, well, maybe that was just an accident. But when it continues to happen over and over again, I think that's when you start raising your eyebrows and say, wait a minute, this feels really deliberate.
Exactly. I know that the account is restored. Did Twitter reach out to you at all?
They did. Well, we've heard conflicting reports from them. They've told us a bunch of different things. And, you know, ironically, though, I had no problem following Planned Parenthood's account. Their account seemed to be in shift shape. So.
Oh, interesting. You noted as well, Unplanned the movie now has more followers than Planned Parenthood does.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing. That is awesome.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, thanks, Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for inadvertently help promoting this more. No, that's exactly. That was a fantastic thing to see. This movie, PureFlix, and those folks are friends of mine. They do some great work, and I love that they have created a platform to release movies that tell these stories, because these stories need to be heard. And I know that you know, most of our listening audience is familiar with you. Your story on this is amazing. I mean, this is, it's sort of like a, for the lack of a better way to put it, it's sort of like a, Paul of Tarsus story. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, you're on the road to Damascus and your eyes are opened, and it's just an amazing story because you tell us about this because you were, for the lack of a better way to put it, a bigwig at the clinic in Houston. I mean, you ran that clinic. You had gotten Employee of the Year at one point. And you were, that is what you did, but there was something that changed the way you saw everything. It changed your life. And I love how you described how there are certain images and moments that you maybe see on the news that stay with you and mm-hmm. are kind of a marker in your life. And this was one of those. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I was asked to come in and assist during an ultrasound guided abortion procedure of a 13-week-old unborn child. And I watched in horror as this baby fought and struggled for his life against the abortion instrument. And, you know, I had sort of been trained by Planned Parenthood to not think about the unborn child, to completely disconnect the child from its mother, that we don't care about the baby. We only care about the woman. We only care about her rights and what's best for her. But as I saw this child fighting for his life, I knew that I was watching something that was unjust. And here we are, an organization that says we're fighting for reproductive justice, but there was no justice for this child in the womb. And I know that I knew that I just couldn't pretend any longer that there wasn't humanity in the womb, that there wasn't life in the womb. And so I ended up leaving and started speaking out about my experiences at Planned Parenthood. And I've really also been trying to help facilitate healing for the many who have been affected by abortion.
Right. And I love that you have also an organization that helps other clinic workers, abortion clinic workers, if they want to leave Planned Parenthood, if they want to leave that industry as a whole, there's a place that they can go. It's called And Then There Were None. And that's the organization that you operate to help with others, because I sort of feel like within that particular industry, when even if people realize if they have the awakening that you do, I sometimes wonder if they feel that grace isn't for them when they want to walk away, mm-hmm. and maybe that prevents them from walking away. And you remedy that with us.
Yeah, we've helped in the past few years. We've helped 500. Abortion clinic workers leave their jobs, and 7 full-time abortion doctors put down their instruments. And so,
Abby, that is amazing. Oh my gosh. So I didn't know those numbers.
I mean, it's really beautiful just to watch the transformations take place in the lives of these individuals. And then they're, you know, and then we're going back and we're shutting down their clinics, because nobody knows how the abortion industry works better than someone who used to work there, a whistleblower. And so a lot of times when they leave, they want to then turn around and start exposing what they've seen. And so we can utilize that, and we can then shut down their clinics. So we've helped close down 21 clinics and counting because of the information that we've been able to get from these clinic workers.
Wow. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. You are doing such good and raising so much awareness as to what actually happens, and also raising awareness that, look, there is, you know, interestingly enough, life after this. You don't have to stay in this industry, and there are alternatives. There's another way. And I love that, because it's not just the movie tells the story of your life, and I've been telling everyone, go and see it. And even, you know, your older children, after you have that conversation, I think it's so important to take your kids to see, because this is the reality. And that people are living with, and this is something that's being marketed to young girls as well, and it's very important for them to be aware of it. But I love that you also, you have this story, and then you also have a hand that reaches out to the people that really are trying to reach. Because I know that this movie isn't so much for the people in the choir. It's for the people that, you know, are kind of not in the choir. And you have that, and then you have your organization that reaches a hand out, which is powerful. And that is just, that is the best witness of all. That is fantastic, and I congratulate you so much for this.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm waking up every day. We thought, you know, gosh, are we just going to be preaching to the choir here? But I'm waking up every day to dozens of messages from people who walked into the film pro-choice to watch it as a critic, and they walked out pro-life. And that's really what this whole thing is about, right? It's about conversion, changing hearts, changing minds. I mean, we can talk about legislation, but in the end, there has to be a culture shift in our nation for us to really embrace the sanctity of human life. And thankfully, thank God, people's eyes are really being opened to the barbarity and the tragedy of abortion, and people are finding healing from their past decisions.
Yes, absolutely. Abby Johnson, the movie is Unplanned. Go and see it, because it is, it's just so powerful. And I'm Unplanned Movie is the account on Twitter. So I suggest you all go and follow that. And then, of course, you can go to unplanned.com, unplannedfilm.com or unplanned.com. And you can get tickets, find out where the theaters are near you. And there's a devotional included as well. Abby Johnson, continue to do the great work that you're doing, changing hearts and minds more so than any piece of legislation ever could. And thanks for the time with us today, too. Keep at it.
Thanks so much, Dana.
Of course. Folks, we have more in store, and you can go. I do, and I do, because I had people who emailed me and they said, would you really take your kids? Yes, I absolutely would. And the reason is you have to have a frank conversation with them. And I say older kids, like obviously don't, you know, your 5 and 6 year olds and 7 year olds, but you know, your teens, absolutely. Your older tweens, maybe. Yeah. You need to have a discussion with them before, and you're going to have a discussion after. But I think it's so important because I think that parents don't even realize what their kids are exposed to through the internet and even through other influences in their lives when parents aren't around. You have to counter those messages. And I think that there's no hyperbole in this film. It's not exaggerated. It is what it is. It doesn't need to be exaggerated. It doesn't need any hyperbole. It is what the truth is enough. What your children do not learn in your home, they will learn outside of it. You have to realize that. So take the opportunity while you have your kids under your roof now, and you need to teach them about the world. And this is one of the things that is in the world. You cannot shy away from this topic, especially the way that it is being marketed to people their ages. So go and see at unplannedfilm.com. You can just go to unplanned.com. It kicks you over to unplannedfilm.com. We have more to come. And we have Today in Stupidity on the way. Before we get rocking though, you guys know Liberal Tears, the gun oil, right? I use that. Well, Liberal Tears now has coffee. You can start your day with a piping hot cup of Liberal Tears. It's just delicious. It's not novelty coffee. It's actually delicious premium Colombia Excelso EP beans. They're imported, roasted. It is it's a bold flavor, pleasant aroma, high caffeine count, low acidity, smooth finish, subtle hints of cocoa. So visit liberaltears.net/Dana, enter promo code Dana, and unlock this offer. liberaltears.net/Dana, join their monthly coffee club and receive free shipping. liberaltears.net/Dana, and don't forget to use my promo code Dana so you can unlock that special offer only for my listeners.
It's the Dana Show.
Little Billy Squire at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And we are finished with our time today. We got some Today in Stupidity, Kane. What do we got?
We may have enough time to play this. Governor Jay Inslee was saying this.
But when you raise the floor, you actually help everybody's wages by raising the floor up.
That's not how it works.
And by the way, if anybody tells you that raising the minimum wage wrecks your economy, you send them my way.
Right. And we will, because that's how it works. When you artificially raise the minimum wage, it destroys business. We've seen so much evidence of that. Whether you say it's true or not means nothing.
That is absolutely correct. Folks, have a great evening. I will be back with you tomorrow.